If you haven't checked out some of the other awesome shows on the FNX network, then you're missing out on some fantastic content, like this.
Here's where the action is.
Wrestle Radio Australia.
Here's where the action is.
Three shows, one network.
Here's where the action is.
Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Just enjoy the ride with this particular long-haired Persian house husband.
Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter.
Hey guys,
make as much noise as you can.
Sleep, sleep.
Not gonna say anything.
You can edit this out, right?
Yeah.
And WRA with me, Josh Armour, and the wordsmith, Sean Fuster.
That was a crazy show, and I'm glad we survived it to come here.
Backstage, people are yelling out, "Oi, the show's bloody started!" I'm downstairs getting a photo shoot done, and I was like, "Oh, shit!"
All of this is yours for free. Subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia on iTunes or check us out on fnx.network. Wrestle Radio Australia, it's where the action is.
Welcome to the third annual World's Almost Finest National Star Wars Day Spectacular. An episode where Jake Johnston and Travis Weir can geek out about anything and everything in the entire galaxy, that is, Star Wars. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you.
I'm going too far. We are here for National Star Wars Day, our third annual one here on episode 57.
Third annual.
Third one, yeah.
Three strikes, you're... Well, maybe not out.
Three strikes. No, I don't think you'll be out, but...
Most good things come in pairs. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Dudes, you know what I'm talking about. But this one comes in thirds.
That's right. Welcome here...
33 and one-third percent.
That's right. Welcome here to episode 57.
57, 57, 57, 57, 57. I can't do it 57 times.
Yeah, that's okay. But we are here giving you our third annual National Star Wars Day, although when this airs, it's probably going to be after Star Wars Day.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Do you remember when Star Wars Day is?
Yes, May the 4th.
There you go. Why is that?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, yeah, and I love listening to that. Star Wars is one of my favorite things of all time. I love talking about it. I love discussing it, talking about the movies, the books, the TV shows, the games, the future movies, everything. It's so great.
And I know we covered this one time, I think, when we were talking about Ghostbusters, but let's just face it. Star Wars is a religion to certain mm-hmm. people. And I'm okay with it. I'm open to learning about all kinds of religion. I don't believe there's a right and wrong answer. I believe that it's everyone's free will in life is to believe. And I believe it also makes life fun.
Oh, definitely.
When you believe and you have a great time. You know, rather you believe in Santa Claus, Jesus, or the Easter Bunny, professional wrestling, Ghostbusters, or now Star Wars.
If you want to believe in the Jedi Order and the Jedi Temple and everything like that, hell yes.
And if you want to believe that Sally from next door is the girl next door and not a freak,
mm-hmm.
we'll believe that too.
Exactly.
If you're listening, hi, I don't know who Sally is.
If you want to believe that you can actually go to the Geico offices and meet Flo, hey, that's all for you. I mean...
Oh, dude, she is so hot in a weird way.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And the way she plays her family members?
I would like to see her in the Princess Leia outfit.
I'm not going to go that far. The Princess Leia outfit that no longer exists.
Yeah. I like thick women. She's a thick woman. And I'm just saying, like, she probably knows more about Star Wars than us because she's awesome.
I don't know if she'd appreciate you calling her a thick woman.
Hey, pretty hot and thick. It's the way Travi likes it.
That sounds like something you would order at the drive-thru of a fast food restaurant. Pretty hot and thick.
Hey, I'm just saying, things would have been a lot easier if I could have just went through the drive-thru and said, I would like a busty, thick woman, sir. And they just give it, you know, here's your Happy Meal.
Instead, you had to have all that courting with your wife. That was so awful to do.
Oh, so worth it. By the way, she got me tickets to see 98 Degrees.
Really?
Yeah, August 19th in Indianapolis. I can't wait.
God dang it.
The
you
hardest
and your
thing out ever. They're like the sixth most popular boy band in my genre. Maybe seventh, I don't know.
Sixth or seventh?
Yeah.
Couldn't even make top five?
No. I mean, come on, you got Backstreet, then you got NSYNC, then you got New Kids, and then, I mean, One Direction moved up a little bit. Maybe they're my number five. And then you got O-Town, number four in my book.
Well,
And then I guess 98 Degrees, right in front of LFO.
You were a lot more of a fan of boy bands than I was, man. I'd listened to a couple of them back in the day, but I was nowhere near as much as you were.
And, I mean, it's just because it's fun. I don't care. You know, I like gangster rap. I like some country music. I mean, I don't slap my sister and shoot my dog a lot, but some of it's okay.
I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison.
And that's exactly like, you know, like, okay, Garth Brooks is okay. I'd go see him in Vegas, but like...
Garth Brooks is awesome. I'll give him.
Yeah. I can appreciate some Brooks and Dunn.
Eh.
I would love to see Tim McGraw in concert again.
Eh. I'm just not a country fan. I like Garth Brooks,
but usually,
that's about it.
Sometimes he comes with Faith Hill and she's smoking.
Sometimes, yeah. And she hates it when she doesn't.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Star Wars, because right. We kind of just went off. As I said,
this happens.
Third annual. We've been doing Star Wars Day for 3 years. This is your first one for
Star
Wars Day.
Yes, last year, I was supposed to be, on the episode, and that's when around the time I suffered, I think that was when I hurt my elbow.
Mm-hmm.
A non-wrestling or non-work-related injury. I had some buildup fluid in my elbow and had to go get it what's that word called? I guess to say cut. I had an abscess on my elbow, and they had to, like, drain it. It wasn't staph. It was just buildup fluid from ruptured cartilage. It was really gross, and the weird part was when they cut it and they drained it, like, I didn't feel anything except, like, felt like I dipped my elbow in hot water.
Right.
My wife would not let me tape it. She runs everything. No, I'm just kidding. Later on when we were going to unveil more about Star Wars, I suffered a hernia injury and was able and like missed everything. But now I'm here, and that's what matters.
Exactly. Star Wars causes you pain.
Yes. I've learned with Star Wars, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
Shit, that's Spider-Man.
It could be used for a whole bunch of different things.
Okay. Speaking of what I just said, as in a potty word, as my child says, she has a problem with the new Star Wars movie, sir.
Which one?
Force
Awakens?
Yes.
What's that?
Because we were watching it, and he's shooting the cannon in the Millennium Falcon, and he says, "Damn it." And she says, "Daddy, they don't cuss in Star Wars." I said, "What are you going to do about it?" She goes, "I'll write George Lucas a letter." I was proud she said George Lucas. And I said, "Well, baby, I don't think that'll help." And she said, "Well, yeah. Well, when I go see Mickey and Goofy, I'm going to tell them about it." I said, "I got your back."
The face you just made when you're retelling the story is
same
exactly what she
stone cold
do.
Face that she had.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Maddie.
Go tell George Lucas, even though he has nothing to do with the franchise anymore.
Yeah.
He sold that cash cow for $4 billion.
Yes, but I believe it's time.
Right.
I mean, come on. He made a great masterpiece, and then he said, "Hey, would you like to see the prequel to Darth Vader?" "Yeah, awesome. How are you going to do that?" "Well, I'm going to show you him as a little boy." I don't want to see that. "Would you like to see where Obi-Wan came from?" "Sweet, yeah. Well, we're going to do a lot of politics talk." "I don't care. Is he running for president? Is he running for a Senate? Whatever." "No, well, here's Padme. But we're going to cover up all her great features, put her in makeup, and talk about politics." "Really?
Oh,
you have Natalie Portman who is smoking hot.
And Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Who is smoking hot, and you're like, eh, we're going to cover up some of her best features, put her in a big puffy outfit. I mean, come on, man. If I could have got Natalie Portman in similar Princess Leia outfits, oh, man.
You telling me you didn't like sitting through all the Senate meetings and Jedi think tanks?
You know what I did during that?
What's that? Oh, yeah, but you do that through a lot of movies.
I do. But first viewing, I was in the fourth grade of episode one, and I slept through it three times. Finally saw it when I bought it on VHS.
You were in fourth grade in 1999?
Yes. Fourth grade heading into fifth grade, something along those lines.
I graduated elementary school in 99.
I saw it in theaters in the fourth grade. I got it for Christmas that year in the fifth grade on VHS.
I still remember watching all the reviews when Force Awakens came out, and people were like, remember how it was when Phantom Menace came out and the reviews and people coming out of the theater going, it's better than Return of the Jedi. It's better than this. Like, you people really just didn't know.
I read a review, and then I also believed it after seeing the movie. It is the new generation's new hope, and I believe that to a T.
Yeah.
I love the characters. I was a little... I find it awesome, the change in stormtroopers, clones, whatever you want to call them. I really like this Poe. The pilot? Yes, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
I love when Kylo has him, like, pinned down, and, like, he's telling him, he's like, okay, are you going to talk? Am I going to talk? What's happening? He's cocky like Han Solo, and I love it.
Exactly. Poe Dameron, the world, the galaxy's best pilot, as they call him.
Can you fly a TIE fighter? I can fly anything with a whatever steering wheel, whatever he said.
Exactly. Oscar Isaac's playing him. Oscar Isaac's who we're going to see later on in the next couple of months in X-Men Apocalypse as Apocalypse.
Yeah, no, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. But from your first viewing of The Force Awakens, because I don't know if we ever talked about this with you. We did The Force Awakens review here several episodes back, but that was me and Kane.
Yes.
So
I was there as a Force ghost, but I could not talk.
Yeah. So for your first viewing of it, what was it like going in to watch it?
Well, I will tell you about my first viewing of it. I watched it with an open mind. I shut out the entire world. It's almost like I had my tunnel vision.
Right.
And I laughed, I cried, I got mad, I enjoyed all different kinds of emotions. But I remember at the beginning, I was like, okay, what's this? A little bit later, I'm like, oh, okay, here's this new person, here's that new person. Then you start seeing familiar faces. And then you start seeing familiar faces in some of the pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see some other things, more new characters. And by the end of it, I had a tear coming down my cheek for different reasons, not just for the inevitable that happened, what it set up for, and what it amounted to.
Right.
And I'm going to say, great movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with you 100%. I thought it was a damn good movie.
Damn!
I've given my review of it, like we said. I still believe, yeah, it had some...
It has some holes because we've not seen the other installments yet.
Right. But also, it has its ties back to A New Hope, but at the same time, like J.J. Abrams said, he's creating a new Star Wars film for a new generation. And there's a lot of... It's sad to say, but there's a lot of kids of today that don't bother going back to watch A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
My father... He placed it perfectly. A New Hope was the New Hope for his generation that grew up with Star Wars. Force Awakens is correctly titled because that is what's going to awaken Star Wars for my kids' generation.
Right.
And then, of course, my generation had the... And maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not. I thought it was boring, but it also, too, like, taught me things about politicians and crooked things in life and things between right and wrong. That's what, you know, I kind of got growing up watching the prequels, but again, they weren't, I say they're terrible because I did not enjoy them because I was a child. It's almost like comparing when I took my children to see Batman v Superman. My kids liked seeing Batman and Superman, but there was so much crammed in and so much story than execution that as a child watching it, you're like, I don't get it. And as an adult, you're like, okay.
Right.
And that's about where we set out there. I remember Attack of the Clones. I was like, Boba Fett. Oh, man, he's a kid. This sucks.
Yeah, he's a kid, and he picks up his father's helmet, and his father's helmet doesn't have his head tumble right out of it. Seriously, how does that happen? In Attack of the Clones, when Jango Fett gets his head cut off while he's wearing his helmet, Boba comes over and picks the helmet up. How does the head not come tumbling out?
Maybe they rolled opposite ways.
Well, if that was something, they should have showcased that, you know?
They should have. But again, that goes with different ratings now. And, like, you know, we were discussing ratings in movies, and, like, I believe everyone likes to... Like, Deadpool was a big thing, like, oh, it should be rated this. No, it should be rated this. Oh, we should do this. I know people would love an R-rated Star Wars. There's people that love an X-rated Star Wars.
Well,
but Star Wars is meant to be exactly what it is meant to be.
Darth Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, or Hung Solo. Princess Leia. Luke Skywalker. I mean, we go all day.
But R2 Deep Throat.
R2 Deep Throat. C3 Penis. I don't know. C3P
Ho.
C3P Ho. But I'm just saying, there's so many great things about, and we do not, you know, people want to do this, they want to do that. We do not need to change the rating of Star Wars at all. Just look, this little thing that was an idea in George Lucas's head has led to video games, movies, action figures, clothing lines, and like I said earlier, possibly religions. There's weddings, bat mitzvahs. I said that wrong. Birthday parties.
The entire expanded universe of books that were written after Return of the Jedi that are no longer canon now.
And there's even museums
of
Star Wars. That's awesome.
Here in Indiana, we've got the 501st Legion of Indiana that comes to conventions, and they're dressed in, you know, the Stormtrooper gear, and they've got... I think last year at PopCon, they had a guy dressed up like Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine, the Emperor. And he was riding one of those
Segway, whatnot.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like Segway.
Or was it those new hoverboards?
The hoverboard, that's what I'm talking about. I think he was riding the hoverboard, but he had his cloak down over it, so it looked like he was gliding towards you. So it actually looked pretty awesome.
My dad, you know, he told me, he goes, when people talk about trilogies, there's only one. And later on he said, but there's an acceptable answer for number two. As he was heading into the first greatest trilogy being Star Wars, second greatest trilogy being Back to the Future. I totally agree with both. And it's awesome that you have two iconic directors that you can compare off of, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. And it's like, okay, I wonder if this new guy who's taken over Star Wars through the Disney Studios, I think that's how they're doing it now, right? Disney Studios?
Yeah, Disney owns it.
So far, he has done justice.
You know, Steven Spielberg wasn't completely in charge on Back to the Future, right?
I know, but he was mainly one of the head creative minds.
The executive producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
But it was still majority of it was his vision.
Yeah.
It's kind of like George Lucas came up with Star Wars, however, he did not direct every film.
Right.
And...
Well, he directed every prequel, but he didn't direct every original film.
Exactly. Because And again, I'm not saying that's why the original trilogy is amazing, but I respect him so much for sticking to his gut on this is how he wanted it, this is how it got done. Guy's a bajillionaire.
For the prequel?
For all of them.
That's the problem. There's a book out there, if you read it, called How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. It's a great book. I'm in the middle of reading it right now. But it tells you the story of who George Lucas is as a person. And what led him to the creation of the Star Wars universe and everything like that. And it shows you this new light on George Lucas and just how much of an introvert he truly is. And how when he believes something needs to be a certain way, it's going to be that way and stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons why the prequels were not as successful as they should have been. Because he didn't let anybody else in to really help him out with that.
I bet with the original trilogy he got a lot of tell. I'm just saying.
There's a possibility. I mean, who knows? But,
hey,
okay.
Gonna do a prequel. Want to play Padme? Show me what you got.
You're only 14 years old. I don't think so. Who are we doing that? Yeah, creepy. About as creepy as Phantom Menace.
Yeah, but back then, that was probably acceptable.
9-year-old Anakin and 14, 15-year-old Padme, and you're supposed to realize that these two are going to grow up to create Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
That is weird. But it was even weirder in Attack of the Clones, though. I hate the sand. It's coarse.
Yeah. I mean, they probably started bumping uglies around the age of... He was 16, she was 21. So, there you go, ladies. Padme is the original cougar.
Somewhat.
Rawr!
What the hell was that?
That's what cougars do. They roar and scratch.
Yeah, but you actually scratch. I don't think anybody out there is going to see you scratch.
People watch podcasts. Don't correct me.
Oh, people watch podcasts. They can watch in audio.
Well, people think the Travis Weir Show is a good show, and I think they're stupid because they should know what's meant to be.
Just one call away.
Yes. I'm going to do one for Star Wars. I just haven't found which one yet.
Right.
I'm thinking about something that, you know, not a music video, but maybe like a little, I don't know, something. But, okay, that's something, too, if we were discussing earlier, we didn't talk about music.
Right.
There's a music icon that loves Star Wars.
And who would that be?
Weird Al Yankovic.
That's right.
He remade the classic American Pie to Someday Soon I'll Be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And so fun when it came out. And, I mean, I was so... I thought I was going to hear this in the movie. Like, I was an idiot when I was growing up. I mean, yeah. I still am, but... At least when I was a kid, I was a naive idiot.
Right. Of course, before that, don't forget, he took Lola and turned it into Yoda.
Yeah.
Y-O-D-A-Yoda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice, he said Yoda.
But Star Wars also made a breakthrough in the animation world.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Clone Wars series. They have the new one that we were just discussing.
Rebels.
Rebels.
Awesome. If you're not watching Rebels, you're missing out.
There's a couple others. I don't know them all. And then there were specials where, like, you see all the time the, like, documentaries of the fandom, you know, Empire, how they live and stuff like that. And then you see stuff like, you know, the Christmas special.
No! Don't ever say that again! You see what you make me do? You see what you make me do? You have to bring it up.
I didn't mean to.
Never again.
I swear to God, if you ever reveal what happened to True Blood, I'll slice your throat.
Okay, we'll call it a spade here.
Yeah.
Hurt my hand.
And see, I had somebody tell me, they're like, you know, I used to get annoyed by that one guy on y'all's show who never watched Man of Steel, talking about Josh. Now I'm getting mad that you won't watch True Blood. You have plenty of freaking time. And I'm like, I know I do. I don't know why I haven't watched it. I own it on Blu-ray. I got it for Christmas.
That's what, a year ago!
No, I mean, I just got it this year. My mom got tired of hearing me talk about it.
Oh, well, yeah, there.
And I try to sit down and watch it, but you don't understand. When I watch shows like that, I have to have a day where I can sit around for 13 hours and watch it because I can't stop.
I understand.
And
that.
I can't watch True Blood when the children are home.
Right. Okay, I think my hand is not numb anymore. Your head hurts.
Dick.
What? Star Wars has been around for a long time. We've talked about Force Awakens. Let's move in to what we just sat down and watched. This new trailer for a film coming out this December known as Rogue One.
Rogue One is supposed to be the trilogy, or I'm sorry, trilogy. The prequel to A New Hope.
Yes.
And I know what you're thinking, and I was the one thinking that too. This sucks. Please stop. I don't care what happened between Episode 3 and Episode 4. I want Episode 7. I want Episode 7. Did I mention I want Episode 7?
And 8.
Yes. But I watched it, and it looks awesome. I mean, come on now. You're finding out this person here is a... she's a woman. I didn't catch the name.
Jyn Erso.
Yeah. She also, like, is going to steal the plans that Leia reveals to R2-D2 to send to Ben Kenobi about, you know, the Death Star. And I wonder, do we get a Ben Kenobi somewhere in this movie? We don't know. It's not released. It'll be awesome. Ewan McGregor, maybe it could happen.
Oh, definitely.
But all these new standalone movies that are rumored, some confirmed, I don't know. I want, after the Rogue One, I want a Boba Fett, Han Solo, Obi-Wan movie. Maybe throw in some other things. And then maybe like Days of Future Past and X-Men, you just go back in time and slice Jar Jar's throat so that doesn't happen.
That'd be something. Well,
when I was a kid, Jar Jar was fun. Don't get me wrong. Upon first viewing, I was like, ha ha, he's funny. But then it sets in like, this guy's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. The most racist character around.
Yeah, Chewie should have ate him.
Yeah. Chewie should have ate him or ripped his arms off just like a droid.
Speaking of Chewie, I'm sorry, buddy. I'll sit and brush your hair while you cry on my shoulder.
I won't, because then I'll have to say, sister, get off me. Yeah.
I forgot.
Rogue One, of course, it's supposed to tell the story about, the, like we say, the group that steals the plans for the original Death Star. And showcase how Leia had those plans in A New Hope when Darth Vader storms the ship that she's on and he starts wanting to know, where's the plans? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
And will it be the breakthrough of James Earl Jones being back in the cinema?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Awesome. And, of course, my dad, who the only problem he had when they revealed him in Episode 3 was the costume change. They should have not improved. It should have been the same costume.
Well, basically, it was.
Yeah. He had a problem with it being weird things.
Like shiny?
Kind of like the problem I have with the Ghostbuster outfit change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like the caution orange on it. My dad didn't like how the buttons were different colors.
Right.
Little things that piss people off.
Yeah.
It's those little things like that piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Rodney Carrington.
What I'm hoping for is, like I said, we know that this movie is going to tell the plans of how they got the Death Star. Tell how they got the Death Star plans. There's rumors. I believe it's going to be true. I believe that Darth Vader is in this movie. Even though they said this movie is going to be more like a war movie. And you're not going to see any Jedi.
Maybe we get a cameo. Like, I know it probably won't happen, but it'd be nice to see a cameo of who is going to, if it's going to happen, who would play young Han Solo. Like, maybe they don't even acknowledge that it is him. What if, like, they just bump into each other at a bar?
Well, that's actually pretty accurate, because there's a rumor, because they are making a young Han Solo film. It's going to be the next in this, a Star Wars story, I think they're calling it. And they're going to alternate on their years. It's like, last year was Force Awakens, this year will be Rogue One. Next year is Episode 8, year after that is the Han Solo film, probably. Year after that is going to be Episode 9. So, they're in the middle of casting. We're just about to find out who the young Han Solo is going to be. There's this guy, Ironreich, I believe his name is, that they're talking about might be. There was a lot of talk about, I can't say his name, but he's a kid from Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name either. Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, I know his name. He was just in Eddie and the Eagle, too. I can't say his name. But there was talk that he might have been in the running to play young Han Solo, which would be okay. But they're talking that the announcement is coming.
I know you wouldn't agree with me, but something tells me that an actor, maybe he wouldn't be taken serious, but like I would like to see, like, of the generation, someone dominant and step into this role. Like, okay, perfect example, a young, like, Leonardo DiCaprio would have been a great, you know, someone who amounts to something and not just a one up, like the guy who plays Anakin. He's like, here, play Anakin Skywalker, one of the most infamous characters ever in Star Wars, because he becomes Darth Vader and you get the guy from Prison Break who does a terrible job.
You know, Leo was supposed to be Anakin.
Yes, that's what got me on this subject.
Yeah, and he turned it down.
He did. And I, as mad as I got, because we would have got Ewan McGregor and Leo DiCaprio together, I believe he made the right call.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Well, like I said, they're saying that the announcement is, it could come on Star Wars Day. We could be sitting here now. You could be listening to this episode from when we're recording it. Star Wars Day is still a week away. They could have announced it before the episode comes out, or they could be waiting until Celebration.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thankful that Michael Bay hadn't got a hold of Star Wars yet.
Oh, God. He'll never get a hold of Star Wars. Ever.
Let's hope that.
No, no.
Although
he won't.
The man did a great job in Bad Boys.
Bad Boys is a good film. I like Bad Boys. It's just most of his other stuff is complete crap.
You know, Transformers, it started going okay, and then it was okay, and then it's bad.
Yeah.
But, hey, sometimes you poop so good you don't have to wipe. Other times you shit your pants.
Yeah, there you go.
I said the wrong word, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, I'm just going to write it down.
But there's even, like, I mean, pop culture to the T when it comes to Star Wars, folks. People have tattoos. People live that lifestyle. Like, I know there's a wrestler in London. They're called the Mega Friends, mm-hmm. so they can't get in trouble. One's a Ghostbuster, one's a Power Ranger, one's a Jedi, and one's an X-Men. I don't remember which X-Men he is, but he has the classic gold and like navy outfit with the X-Men logo, but it's not. It's for a name. I think his name's like Xander.
Right.
So it's not like he can be in trouble. But I think, it's just taking over the world in good ways. And then there's people out there that blast on Star Wars. Like, oh, look, you know, that guy's a Star Wars nerd or something like that. Just because people like to have fun and express things that make them happy in life. I get made fun of daily because I like boy bands. But guess what? That's what I like. I don't care if you don't like it. We still can be friends. I get made fun of because, you know, pro wrestling is a religion to me. And people's like, well, blah, 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 that's fake. I was like, okay, go tell Darren Drozdoff wrestling's fake.
Yeah.
You know, go tell Stephen Hawking that science is fake. Go tell Jesus that, you know, there's no God. See, like, I mean, there's no right and wrong answer. And things like this make life worth living when you can just believe in whatever the hell you want to believe in.
Yeah. Well, people who say that wrestling is fake, I look back at them and say, guess what? Did you know that Leonardo DiCaprio already knew the ship was going to crash into the ocean when he signed on to be in Titanic?
Yeah, and that film got him so much money, so much should have got him the Oscar. I said that's not a bad word.
I'm just going to write it down.
Speaking of which, I heard he was up for the role, not in a perverted way I'm saying this, but I heard he was up for the role in Snatch that Brad Pitt got. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Brad Pitt was, do you think he would have been an okay Jedi?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I just said, you know, he's got that look, like to me I feel like he would have had the look for Han Solo, but not the execution. Like Ewan McGregor, he would have had that nice, rugged look to be like, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, he did an okay job in Troy. I've never really seen him as, like, an action thing.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah. I liked the movie Troy.
It was okay. I went and saw it in theaters. I fell asleep halfway through and then woke up towards the end. But I was also in school at the time.
So. Yeah. But, I mean, like, it's things like that. And I compare that to the prequels, you know, I watched them and I was like, eh. But then later I did appreciate them. And then now you have all this being re-released on Blu-ray. I think that's awesome. We went to a thrift store and my wife got me Empire Strikes Back, the VHS.
Yep.
And it's in the original case, pretty good shape. Not watched the actual physical movie yet, but it's the original cut that was released. You don't have this dubbed over special edition stuff.
You sure it's the original cut? Last I heard, most of the original cuts were destroyed.
It's from the 80s.
It could
be. The CBS, you know, I'm talking, it's as close as I guess we're going to get.
Yeah. Because most, anything that's released now those movies has to do with like the George Lucas special editions and stuff like that. And you get the awful band that sings in Jabba's Palace in Return of the Jedi. or something.
Yeah.
I'll probably put that clip in there.
Yeah, I dig it. And see, that's another thing, too. Like, I want to see in the Han Solo movies, if they make it, I want to see him make his deals with Jabba, make his deal with this person. Like, I mean, come on, classic Han Solo. You see him, like, what, 2 minutes in the new movie, and all of a sudden, here's people here to kill him because he's not giving their money.
Exactly. And it's like, it's the people from the Raid 2,
yeah,
which was fun. Even though that scene, I didn't really care for the cargo that he was carrying. I thought it was a little too hokey.
Yeah, it looked like that thing off Men in Black 2.
Yeah, the alien things. I didn't think he just needed something like that. But Rogue One is going to be an awesome movie. We've got some news here about Rogue One. Mads Mikkelsen is in the movie. We don't know the name of his character yet. But he actually recently did an interview. Of course, Mads Mikkelsen's best known as playing Hannibal in the NBC Hannibal Lecter series.
Yes.
And he's also going to be this November in Doctor Strange. So he's getting basically a twofer right there. Doctor Strange in November, Rogue One in December.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. Disney is helping out the Marvel Universe as well as Star Wars Universe. And I'm not saying I don't support it. I'm not saying I do support it. I'm just saying it is fun to be a fan right now.
Exactly. And Mads Mikkelsen recently did an interview where he let it slip the character that he's playing in Rogue One, because normally, you know, anybody who's cast in a Star Wars movie is threatened under penalty of death, almost, if you let anything get out. You're an idiot, you know? They're coaching you, they are telling you what to say, they're telling you what not to say, and he accidentally let it slip when he says, Rogue One's going to be an amazing film, I play Felicity Jones' father in the movie, and I think I just said too much. So, Mads Mikkelsen is playing the father of Felicity Jones' character, Jyn Erso, in this movie, and there was a rumor a few months ago about part of the plot of this movie being Felicity Jones' character's father working for the Empire on the Death Star, and something makes him switch sides and join his daughter and become part of the rebellion but not let the Empire know. That's going to be interesting to me. I wonder if they're going to follow through with that. What do you think?
I don't know. Again, it's a fun time to be a fan.
Right.
And the way society's going nowadays, it's very hard to be a fan of anything. Because like I said earlier, you get rebutted into being made fun of, or like, come on, you're too adult. Like, I bought a PKE at a little toy store.
It's a PKE meter.
Yes, from Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters cartoon series. And my wife said, come on, aren't you an adult? You just paid $10 for that broken piece of plastic. I said, 10? I was going to offer him 20.
Right.
I mean, you can't put a cap on living and having fun and enjoying. I would rather live every day loving the things I do, loving the people I do, and getting made fun of than to not live at all and to have nothing. And, you know, like, no one has regrets. Rather you're me, rather you're Jake, rather you're Charles Manson, rather you're Jenna Jameson, rather you're George Lucas. That's a bad comparison. But they've all lived life to their what they want. And people, you know, they put... That's what's wrong with society. It's not that people love this, people like that, people spend money on this, no one saves for their future. Everyone lives. This isn't 1904 when you only live to be like 30 or 18 or whatever. It's not like you only live to be 35. If I only lived to be 35, I want to know that I enjoyed every freaking day of my life and did exactly what I wanted to.
Right.
My bills are paid. My kids are not hungry. And I got to see Star Wars. You know, my mortgage was paid on time. I get to do this. And then I get to go watch wrestling. You know, and then, you know, I get to see bad stuff too. Like, you know, everything, you know, happens for a reason, and I'm so glad to say that, like, with, like, you know, we talked about Deadpool, we talked about Batman v Superman, we talk about Star Wars, all this stuff is just so fun. We have Avengers stuff coming out, we have new Disney movies coming to life, like Jungle Book and Maleficent, and, oh, it's so fun, and, like, you have, the newer generations are getting Like, you have The Lion Guard, which is a new show introducing kids to the, reintroducing kids to Lion King again. It's all so fun. You have the Disney Rebels, or I'm sorry, Star Wars Rebels.
On Disney XD.
Yes, which is reaching out to the kids that, like, maybe they, you know, at, we'll say demographic from 4 to 7 years old, who probably couldn't sit through a Star Wars movie and understand everything except for the fight scenes, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. So then when they are about 8, 9 years old, like Madison's age, who sit and did not move
right
during The Force Awakens, and right, who has since her viewing of that, has watched every Star Wars movie, and again, she didn't quite understand a lot with the prequels because it is for more of an adult genre from what they talk about, but she's like, oh look, I like this girl, she's a queen, she's a princess, she's a sin, I don't get it, but yeah, she has awesome, I love her outfits, oh my gosh, she has a boyfriend, oh my gosh, she has a baby and dies, that's so sad.
She has two babies.
Yes, and she knows that now because she just finished Return of the Jedi.
Oh, well there you go.
Yes.
Very
and
nice.
And she put it all together, and then she said, Daddy, is it okay that they didn't know they were brother and sister? And you know what I told her? I said, you know what, baby? It's 2016. Anything's acceptable.
That's been the question on everybody's minds ever since that happened.
I'm just saying. And then, but you have other cinemas who have shown their respect and their love and stuff for Star Wars. Like you have Fanboys. A great film. I recommend everybody watch it.
Dang, straight.
Like, if I had the needs they did, it would have been. You have shows like Big Bang Theory talking about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a go, but you told me when you saw it on opening night, the entire theater stood up and clapped.
Yes.
Like, things like that are so awesome.
You've got all the shows. You got shows like Us that talk about Star Wars. You got shows like Collider's Jedi Council, or the Jedi Alliance and the Popcorn Talk Network. You've got all these different things of people coming together and talking about it. And it's just, it's so much fun right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is it cool that Mads Mikkelsen accidentally let slip his character, do you think? Do you think he was meant to say that, or do you think it was actually a, oh crap, what'd I just do?
I believe it was both. I believe he was allowed to talk about it a little bit. Maybe he let right too much out. However, we're talking about it, so he's doing his job.
Yeah. And like I said, sometimes you're threatened under penalty of death from getting anything out of Star Wars. The best example I could say is going to the Marvel Universe. Before Age of Ultron came out, they had, I can't remember if it was on Jimmy Kimmel or Conan O'Brien, they had Don Cheadle on, who plays War Machine in the movies, Rhodey, and they were trying to get him to tell them a little bit of information about Age of Ultron, and Cheadle started going, well, here's what I can say, and as soon as he said that, they had this gag where a bunch of red lights, like a sniper red light, showed up all over his body, and then they stopped him and said, no, don't, you might not want to say it. Why is there, and he looks down, he's like, oh,
it's a great film. Go see it.
Yeah, exactly. That's almost what it's like for Star Wars, for people letting stuff out.
And you know what would be awesome? We've seen how the Marvel world and even the DC universe is coming to the television shows. Maybe we'll get a Netflix original series on a Star Wars story.
Oh, that would be so awesome if we got a live-action Star Wars.
Maybe that's where we could get a Boba Fett series.
Even
if it's just a short series. It doesn't have to be anything giant.
No.
Just the story of the bounty hunter.
That would be so awesome. I have always thought that a live-action Star Wars series could work. George Lucas wanted to do it for a long time.
Maybe show like Luke Skywalker growing up. Better yet, maybe show what Princess Leia went through growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes TV shows are more fun than movies because you have more to play with.
But what would you really show for Luke, though? Because really, up until the point where, you know, he first starts talking about old Ben and they buy the droids and stuff, the only excitement in his life was learning how to be a moisture farmer on Tatooine.
Yeah.
I was using that as an example, and then you just pull the rug out from underneath.
Well, if you think about it, that's... I mean, they could
go
easily...
Go fish, sir!
Go fish!
I just looked at the cards over there and saw it.
Right. Well, now that we're talking about stuff that are rumors, there's another one. It's going to probably be one of our last things about Rogue One to talk about. Well... No, actually, before I get to that, let me pose this question. You don't watch Star Wars Rebels yet.
No.
We know that Rebels is set in that same time period. It's like 10 years or more after Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, just before
New Hope.
And it's dealing with a band of rebels, led by Kanan Jarrus, and who's supposed to be... He believes himself to be, like, the last Jedi around or something like that, even though he's not a full Jedi Master because his master was killed while he was training Kanan during Order 66. And now Kanan has taken on Ezra, who's this young kid on Lothal, who is a Force user, and he's trying to teach him, even though he's not a master and stuff like that. But my question is, because we don't know exactly what happens to these Rebels cast yet, but we do know that they were not around during the events of the original films for New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. Do you think we could see live-action versions of the Rebels characters in Rogue One?
Why not?
I mean, that'd be pretty awesome.
I mean, we spoke about it earlier. We were introduced to Darth Maul in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And the Darth Maul character shows up in the Clone Wars series.
Yeah, it showed that he didn't die in Phantom Menace.
Yes.
He has his cybernetic legs now.
So, therefore, why can't it happen the opposite way?
Yeah, and as... Here's a spoiler for Rebels. If you haven't seen it yet, Travis, he'll forget about this later on, but
yeah.
Rebels Season 2 finale, Twilight of the Apprentice, actually brought Darth Maul back into the fold. So Maul now, who is... Maul, the character we know him, he's pissed off at the Empire. He wants to get at Vader and at the Emperor for basically what he believes screwing him over or something like that. He wants to make them pay. But at the same time, he screws over the Ghost crew, which the Ghost is the ship that the Rebels crew fly on. He really messes up Kanan.
He's almost like a mole for himself.
Yeah.
He's got... And he has the double-edged lightsaber, so he can... fight at both ends. I just came up with that. That's...
Exactly. And that's what the awesome part of that, the one of the scenes in the Season 2 finale of Rebels, is you can tell that Maul is older. He's using a cane to walk around and stuff like that. And then he comes out and he sees the Inquisitors and he's like, oh, what fun. I haven't experienced fun like this in years. And he takes the cane and he takes the head off the cane and he presses a button and both shoots out on either end. He's still got the double-edged lightsaber. Oh, it was awesome.
Darth Maul was, like, a character that should have been... Dooku should have been in the first one. Dooku should have been the one shot, that's it. And then Maul could have been the one who ultimately got taken over for Vader. However, with the new introductions, Maul could still be in this... Maul could be in this movie.
Right. Maul was always an awesome character, played by Ray Park in Phantom Menace. There's a YouTuber out there, I think his name is Michael Barrity. If you look him up, he does this series of What If the Prequels Were Good, where he basically rewrites the
kind of like
prequels.
The Walt Culture guys that we watch on YouTube.
Yeah, but
sweet.
He rewrites the prequels, and in his, like, Darth Maul doesn't die in Phantom Menace. He still kills Qui-Gon Jinn, but he is able to escape, and throughout the next two films, Obi-Wan is trying to teach Anakin... And keep balancing the force or something, but at the same time, he's got his ear to the ground on the lookout for Darth Maul because he wants to find Maul.
Maybe we could get a series on Anakin's training. I would be okay with that.
It'd be interesting.
Or just anybody. Like, there's so much that that can be done here that hasn't been done that probably will be done. We could say, oh, this would be cool. This would be cool. They could have the script for the next 33 Star Wars movies done. For all
right.
We know.
Oh, they're going to be doing a hell of a lot of Star Wars movies since Disney owns it. We're going to be getting a lot more Star Wars, guaranteed. Now, here's another piece of news. because we both agree it'd be awesome if we saw live-action Rebels in Rogue One, but it depends on how things fall down at the time. But the last piece of news I want to talk about actually comes... There's a YouTube out there, The Stupendous Wave, who does a lot of Star Wars stories. He gives his thoughts on certain rumors and things like that. Now, if you look in the trailer, there's a scene where there is a person in a cloak, a hooded cloak, that is kneeling in front of what looks to be a Bacta tank. And the Bacta tank we were first introduced to in The Empire Strikes Back, it's what they put Luke in to heal himself from the injuries on Hoth when he had to cut open the stomach and crawl inside and things like that. They put him in there to try and heal him from his injuries.
The thing that looked like the Wolverine tank.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Bacta tank. Now, the crazy thing about it is around the Bacta tank is the Red Royal Guards. And those Red Royal Guards are always by the Emperor's side. They're always by the Emperor's side. They never leave his side. Those are the big Mamma Jammas, if you will.
Yeah. Like the They're his secret service.
Yeah, essentially. And they only come out when the Emperor's around. Now, I don't think Vader is this hooded figure, okay, that is kneeling by the Bacta tank. That's where this theory that I first saw in The Stupendous Wave comes in, where he put out the theory that...
Spell that right.
Yes. Okay. He put out the theory that what if it was Snoke that's in the Bacta tank and the hooded figure is the Emperor? Because we know Snoke. We saw Snoke. We saw the look of him. He's injured. He's been in a battle. His face is all scarred up and messed up and stuff like that. We know that they said he's been around for thousands of years. He's been around since the events of the prequels, since the events of the original films. He's probably been around since before the prequels, but we don't know much about him. Like, who he is, other than the name Snoke. What is his ultimate goal, his accomplishment, stuff like that. There's the theory that he was Darth Plagueis, which was the Emperor's master. And the Emperor is said to have killed Darth Plagueis in his sleep and took his role as Sith Lord, because the rule of two originally set by Darth Bane, where there can only be two, a Sith Lord and his apprentice. And if the Lord is killed, the apprentice takes his place, and then the apprentice is now the Sith Lord, and he gets to pick an apprentice of his own. It's only a rule of two. But as soon as that theory went on the internet, Pablo Hidalgo, who is fun to watch on on Twitter, he's fun to check him out. He basically is the one that's behind a lot of this Star Wars stuff, and he knows everything about all the movies coming down the line. He went straight to it, and he said, guys, for all intents and purposes, let me explain this. Snoke is not in Rogue One. This is a standalone film. It's not a part of the new series of adventures, of the new episode 7, 8, 9. It's going back into the world of everything that happened, the fight between the Rebellion and the Empire. Snoke is not in it.
And you know what? Something else, too, about this Rogue One, before I forget, that I absolutely love. The original Stormtroopers are returning.
Yeah.
The look, the actions, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we saw where they came from in the clones.
Yeah.
We saw what they come to in Force Awakens, and then you have this one. And it's picked up, like, it's as vintage as they can do it. It's awesome.
We get to see the Death Troopers, too.
Yes.
Which are the ones that are like Vader's guards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the black Stormtrooper outfits, and they're pretty awesome. But
is that the one that they got, like, the black outfit with, like, looks like a gas mask with the chest piece like Vader?
I think kind of.
Okay. I always wondered who exactly they were, because you've seen them in A New Hope, but that was about it that I can remember.
I thought this was going to be their first time on screen.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something.
Because they were in a book.
Okay.
Yeah. But do you think this is a good idea about Snoke not being in Rogue One?
Yes and no. No, because we just found out about him. Yes, because if he truly is who takes over for the Emperor, then yes, I'm okay with it, because he was not relevant at that time.
Right.
I would like to see a backstory somewhere. Maybe we will get it, because we're going to have something that connects between the Jedi and Force Awakens.
That's where we see the rise of him. That's where we see Kylo Ren take his grandfather's helmet and carries on what his right. mission was.
Right. I'm iffy on it. I mean, I understand it, and I kind of like it that Snoke is not in it, because it gives this new movie a different flavor.
Yes.
But I am like you. I do want to see the story play out. I do want to know where Snoke came from. How did he seduce Ben Solo to become Kylo Ren and cause Ben to basically destroy what Luke was trying to build in the new Jedi Order? How did this happen? They say he's thousands of years old and he was around during the time of the prequels and the time of the original trilogy. What was he doing? You know, was he just standing back watching? Was he waiting for his moment to strike? Was he gaining power? How did he get the injuries that are all over his body, you know? Because you could tell it has to have been in a lightsaber battle. His face is sunken in. It's almost got a Jonah Hex-style face.
Yeah. I had a friend at work who was like, man, it's terrible. Looks like the guy from Harry Potter.
Voldemort?
I guess. I've not seen all the Harry Potter films. We're reading, then watching.
You've never heard the name Voldemort?
Well, I mean, I have, but I'm not familiar with the character. I just know the guy with no nose.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So don't judge me. Who knows, maybe upon finishing Harry Potter, we will do a Harry Potter episode.
It's
got to wait for me. Okay, I'll watch the movie so I can catch up, and we'll just do
it. We might
later.
Have to do it just so that we could go see...
Yes.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Exactly. There we go. Before we... We'll announce it now. Before we do the review of that movie, we will do a Harry Potter episode.
There we go. But I want to know
Harry
more.
Potter, another you know, iconic thing, just like Star Wars.
Right. I want to know more about Snoke. I want to know more about who he is. But at the same time, I'm glad he's not in Rogue One, because I can let it be a slow burn.
Yes.
I can wait for it. If they promise that it's going to be good, I'd much rather it wait long and have it be good than have them rush a story right out that doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
So if Snoke is not in Rogue One, I'm okay with that, because they said you're not going to see any Jedi, which makes sense, because at that time the Jedi Order was wiped out. Order 66
yes.
happened. Ben Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi
basically
was,
in hiding.
Yeah, he was hiding as a hermit on Tatooine watching out for little Luke. You had Kanan and Ezra. We don't know exactly what's going to happen to them. If they could show up in Rogue One or not. Ahsoka Tano, we saw what happened to her at the end of the season 2 of Rebels and the Sith Temple and stuff like that. The only one they're talking about possibly being in this is Darth Vader, and if you get Darth Vader showing up on a battlefield, just wrecking stuff up, oh, I would love to see something
yes.
like that. But, you know what? We'll find out when Rogue One comes out who is in the back of the tank and who is the hooded figure. I can't wait to see this.
Oh, but yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on from Rogue One now and talk about Episode 8.
Yeah.
Because there's a rumor that I said I wasn't going to tell you about. Normally, guys, before we go into a show, I sit down with Travis and I talk about the stories we're going to discuss. And... this time I chose not to, because I want your genuine reaction.
Okay.
And folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, for all intents and purposes, this could be treated as a possible spoiler for Episode 8, because they say it comes from a leaked script, whether or not that's true or not, because we've heard rumors about leaked scripts
before.
True
story, not sure how true it is.
Exactly. It could be true, and I'm spoiling something that's going to happen. Or it could be false, and these guys just made a story up one day because they wanted to. So take it with a grain of salt. If you want to skip ahead, go ahead. But you've had your warning. There was a script leak, as I said, of Episode 8 being directed by Rian Johnson, currently filming right now, where it has a lot to do with Rey and Luke. And how Luke was there training Rey when she was a child, among a bunch of other people, to be the new Jedi's and the new Jedi Order. And how Snoke seduced Ben and I think a few others, and they turned on this Jedi Order that Luke was building, and they killed everybody that didn't agree with them. And they became the Knights of Ren.
It's almost like Luke did for her as Obi-Wan did for him.
Yes.
But not meaning to jump off subject here before we get going, but in Force Awakens, when you finally see Luke Skywalker, just that presence, I got goosebumps.
Oh, yeah. You've been waiting 30 years to see a glimpse of Luke Skywalker now.
And you see the pain and the agony, and at the same time, the little bit of joy that the New Hope found him.
Yep. And it's the first time I've seen Mark Hamill on screen, and my mind didn't immediately go, Joker.
Yes.
Not bad, huh? Now, the rumor continues to go on to say that in the movie, Rey is saved by Luke as a child. Her mother is killed in the attack. Rey is the one that dumps her on Jakku and kind of does this little mind wipe so she doesn't remember the events of it and makes her believe that her parents are going to come back and get her. The rumor continues to go on to say that Rey is pissed at Luke because she believes Luke to be her father. And she's upset that he won't just come out and say it. Because once we saw in Force Awakens when Luke takes the hood down and looks, and she's handing the lightsaber, and he makes that look. Is he looking at the lightsaber or is he looking at her?
Yeah.
The way that the eyes glare up. And we know that she is powerful in the Force because she was able to turn the tables on Kylo
when he was... It's almost like when she's having those little flashes. It's like she's remembering it without... It's like when someone has amnesia. Is that what it's called?
Something kind of, yeah.
Like, where you forget things. Like, I mean, I don't know exactly what happened the day it happened, but when we were in high school, I suffered a massive head injury that it was just a little bump in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Didn't realize I almost died.
Yeah.
And for 3 years, until I got back in the ring... That day, I broke down and started crying because I remembered everything that happened. I took a heel kick. My head bounced off the bottom rope. I woke up 3 days later in Union Hospital. Oh, my God. And then I remembered everything about those 3 days to the T, to where I could taste that hospital food in my mouth, and it just made me break down and cry and stuff like that. Is this what's happening through the movie? She having the amnesia. Like, you know, you think you see Kylo Ren doing the Force grab to get that lightsaber, and it flies right past him, and she catches it and turns that thing on and just... lights up his world.
Exactly. And as I said, when he's trying to torture her and get in her mind, like, I could see inside your mind, she flips it around on him, and he's like, oh, crap. And the look on his face, and she says, you're scared that you'll never be as powerful as Darth Vader. And he just throws it, because nobody had ever done that to him before.
Yes.
We know she's powerful in the Force. And the rumor continues to go on, and it gives a scene description that she is arguing with Luke, and she stands up and she says, why don't you just tell me that you're my father? And here's where it gets... I'm sorry.
Interesting,
but at the same time, I call it really dumb, and I do not like it. This is where Luke turns around and says, I can't say that I'm your father. And when she says, why? Luke turns to her and says, because you're my father. That apparently the chosen one that's supposed to bring balance to the Force can take form in many different ways. And over the years, it has done that in many different ways. It answers the question of why Anakin was a virgin birth, where one day the woman woke up and she was pregnant, having not been with a man. He was born of the Force. Luke Skywalker disappeared because he wanted to go find the first Jedi Temple because he wanted to understand how the process happens. And in this theory, Anakin Skywalker was one of the chosen ones that was born from the Force.
He was in that generation, in that, where we were talking earlier on religion, in that state of mind, he basically, I'm not saying this in a religious way to be like whatever, but in this universe, It's always been based around that the Jedi was built around Christianity. It's almost like Anakin was once believed to be almost the same force as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. That's, and I'm not saying like, oh, you know, religion, blah, 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 you know, praise Jeebus.
Jeebus?
I didn't mean to say that.
Wow.
But I'm like, it's, again, they're taking taking a story, twist it in a way that someone can understand, and it's teaching them a way of life. And I believe that's fun. It's as natural as they can make it. And it's like, okay, so then when you have someone who maybe aspires in learning about this, they compare it to what they've learned on this, and it's easier for them to comprehend.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But that's the story that this rumor is going with, that it says it's from a script leak. She is the reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker. She is the new chosen one. And this is further in the movie pounded into your head by having her interact.
I don't mean to cut you off, but let's go get in line so I can get my tickets.
Yeah. But it's further having her interact with the Force ghost Anakin Skywalker, played by Hayden Christensen.
Okay.
And not only does he interact with her and explain to her all of this, but he introduces her to hundreds of other Force ghosts that represent the other chosen ones that were born of the Force before Anakin.
I'm just saying, hopefully she doesn't get scared and dial 555-JKL.
Yeah.
Or they're all in trouble.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I think it's dumb.
I don't like it either. However, I will watch it with an open mind because they could knock it out of the park.
I hope this is just a rumor and that's it. And it hasn't been substantiated by any of the studios. Nobody else is really wanting to talk about it.
It's frustrating.
I don't want that to be the case. I think they have a better story planned that has something else to do with that. I don't like this, you know, because then it turns it into every time they want to do another trilogy, it's going to turn into, well, who's going to be the Anakin this time? All right, which one is going to be the Force user? Who's going to, not the Force user, but who's going to be the Force birth this time? I don't want that, you know.
But hear me out here. What if Rey is the one that does what the Chosen One's supposed to do? Would that be the end of the reincarnate?
Uh-uh. No. I don't think so. I don't believe so at all.
Oh, well.
Because there's always going to be a problem. The only way to bring balance is to the Force.
Is that why Luke was in turn the Chosen One? Because Luke was going to have to be the one to defeat Anakin / Darth Vader for the reincarnate of that.
It's a possibility. See, that's the problem with this. It opens up way too many plot holes for certain things from the past.
And then we're right back to Batman v Superman where we're all confused.
Exactly. I don't like this story. I don't want it to happen. I don't want Rey to be the reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker. She can still interact with a Force ghost Anakin Skywalker. There's been rumors for the last year that Hayden Christensen was training to come back and cameo in one of these films. And it makes sense. If Luke Skywalker is on an island by himself on Octu, if he is by himself, he has to be interacting with some Force ghosts. A Force ghost Yoda, who's also rumored to be showing up in Episode 8 as Frank Oz playing him. A Force ghost Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by Ewan McGregor, coming back in. And Ewan McGregor's already been in the new movies because we know he was at the voice at the end of Rey's vision. Rey, these are your first steps. Mixed with Alec Guinness's voice. That's fine. I just don't want it to happen where she's the reincarnation.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't. I'm praying it's not true. I really am.
I don't know, man. They will get it right.
And it, at the same time, it also opens the door for Rey to go evil.
Yes.
Much like Anakin did.
Well, we also saw Luke had a dark side there for a while, but he fought it and beat it.
Well, yeah, he beat it, but at the same time, I still stand by my belief that he became a gray Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Where he can tap into the darkness without having it take over, but he still follows the ways of the Jedi Force.
That little scene there when he cut Vader's hand off and then he looks at his and he realizes that.
Yeah. Oh, no, not just that. Also,
no, I'm just saying, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah, well, he got so close to the dark side there. Because the scene before that where he's hiding from his father and Darth is trying to find him, but he's hiding in the shadows, and you see half of his face. One side is lit by light, the other side is in darkness. That's what he's going through at that time. And then when he finally starts just wailing away on Darth Vader, and he's just knocking him out, and he cuts his hand off, he realizes, this is what I'm becoming. And it even harkens back to the scene in Empire Strikes Back, where he's in that cave, and he starts beating up on Darth Vader, and he knocks him down, and Vader's mask cracks open, and he sees himself inside.
Yes.
So, this opens up the door, and that's... The rumor continued by saying that Luke was afraid to train her because of that, because he knows she has the potential to be the most powerful being in the universe. Well, and if she goes evil, we're all screwed.
It's almost like when he went and found Yoda, Rey went and found Luke.
Yeah.
Maybe that was her mission all along. We don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, in the new movie, Luke is going to be acting like Luke, but he's also going to be the new movie, Episode 8, is going to be like if you take Obi-Wan and mix him with Yoda, you get old Luke Skywalker.
I'm okay with that.
Which is perfect. And it shoots me back to that picture that Daisy Ridley and Mark Hamill just took several weeks ago in the parking lot. I don't know if they're at Pinewood Studios, but Daisy is standing there, and she's got Mark Hamill on her back. And he's jumped up, and he's holding on her back, and he's pointing. And it's just like Empire, where Luke has got Yoda on his back because he's carrying him through.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And the fact that she's strong enough to hold Mark Hamill up on her back like that.
Yeah.
Dang, I love you, Daisy Ridley. Marry me, please.
Yeah.
Let's make this may happen.
In the state of Indiana, I could officiate the ceremony.
I can too now.
I know.
I forgot to tell you
that. We live sad lives.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, let's talk about some other worlds, if you will, be with the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, they have awesome toys, clothing, movies, and then they took the console world by force with video games.
Exactly.
All the way from, I think the first Star Wars game I ever played was Super Star Wars on the NES.
Oh, there
Super
you go.
NES, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Which led to stuff like PlayStation 1 had a Street Fighter-esque type game. It was my favorite Star Wars game. You fought like Street. That's what made me think Street Fighter.
Yeah, it was a fighter.
Yeah, and then you had like Episode 1. You had Shadows of the Empire on 64.
Mm-hmm.
All these other good ones come out to the Rogue Squadron series that Nintendo put out.
Got Knights of the Old Republic.
So good. Mm-hmm. Which then evolved into their own version of WoW, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
Which then led into one of the most breakthrough Star Wars games led to be, and we were talking about this new segment we're going to have on our episodes, talking about
classic games.
Classic games, shout out to games.
They're going to be our spotlight game
of the episode. Spotlight game, yes. That's going to be our title for it, the Spotlight Game. And actually, this one here, the one we're going to talk about, I have not completed. Mainly because I had one for PlayStation 2. Well, and on Xbox 360, and then I had the second one on Xbox 360. But we are going to talk about part one and two of Star Wars: The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, The Force
Unleashed.
I had
one of them on PSP as well. It had to be the first one. I think it was the only one.
Yeah. Well, The Force Unleashed released in 2008 for the PS2, the PS3, the Wii, the 360. The iOperating system, Nintendo DS, the PSP, the N-Gage, and four mobile devices, that Java-powered mobile devices.
Shout out to the N-Gage. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot the first, like, it was like a Game Boy cell phone.
Mm-hmm. If you've never played the original Force Unleashed, I'm going
to... You want to say Awakens, I understand.
I'm going to go back and forth, I might slip up, but if you never played the Force Unleashed, it tells the story of a character named Galen Merrick, a.k.a. the Starkiller, who is the secret apprentice of Darth Vader. It's not in canon anymore, so don't worry, but in this franchise, he was the secret apprentice of Darth Vader who was tasked with journeying out into the galaxy, finding rogue Jedi that still might be around, and killing them and destroying them, while at the same time hiding his existence from the Emperor.
Yes. For the first time, folks, in Star Wars, you got to play as the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, the bad guy who quickly would become...
Not the bad guy.
The bad guy.
The bad guy.
Cállate, chico.
You selected Scott Hall. Come for a wild side on the outside.
Nice. But, of course, Starkiller, everybody remembers, is actually the original name for Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
It was never Skywalker in the original script when George Lucas wrote it. His real name was actually Anakin Starkiller. And it was A-N-I-K-I-N, I think. It was that way. Then Lucas decided he was going to make Anakin Vader, and he changed it to Luke Starkiller. Then they said, yeah, let's change it up. And then Skywalker came along, but Starkiller is the original name of the original protagonist from Star Wars. And Sam Witwer provides the voice. Sam Witwer is big in the Star Wars universe. He's actually the voice of Galen Merrick. He's the voice of Darth Maul in the Clone Wars and in Rebels. He's the voice of Emperor Palpatine in several things.
Mm-hmm.
He is huge in the Star Wars universe, as well as playing, I believe he played a vampire in Being Human, the American version.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, it told the story of Starkiller, Vader's secret apprentice, and hunting down and all that. Sam Winter...
Witwer.
Sorry, yeah. I thought it said Winter. Was the voice of Starkiller, who is also the voice of the Emperor, as we were talking about in Rebels.
And Darth Maul.
Yeah, and then, you know, this was also one of the first selected games that I discovered what DLC was.
Yes.
But if this also was a breakthrough for me, because I didn't have internet at the time, I didn't really know how to get the DLC, but then Ultimate Sith Edition came out, which basically was Game of the Year.
Right.
Opened up a whole new world to gaming. Excuse me. When you could get Game of the Year Edition.
Right.
So fun. We've talked on the show before about our feelings on DLC. They get enough money from us.
Exactly. Now, fun thing about it is Force Unleashed, I thought it told a good story. I thought, for the first 10 minutes of the game, you played as Darth Vader.
Yes.
And you got to force choke guys, and you're going through, and the reason that you have this secret apprentice is because you killed his father, basically, right in front of him, and you took the boy. And it was a good showcase of how Darth Vader was subservient to the Emperor, but he was always had his gears running in his head. He always knew, I've got to have a backup plan in case this goes south. You know, just because, you know, this guy that I'm subservient to actually killed his own master.
Yeah.
To be big. And the story as you're going along, one of the aspects I really loved about it was you could change Starkiller's costume, unlock different Jedi robes or Sith robes, and you could change the color of the lightsaber by putting a different crystal in there.
Yeah, you could go from green, blue, and red, I believe.
Yeah, green, blue, red, yellow, I think, too. White. So it was really awesome. The story of how he was falling in love with the pilot of his ship, Juno Eclipse, the robot on there that got kind of annoying after a while.
Yeah.
And even the fight at the end where Vader is watching as you're fighting the Emperor, you know. And there's two different endings, especially with the Ultimate Sith Edition. It's just really good.
I think it's fun in the video game world, but it's also fun because you feel like you got another Star Wars movie at the time.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Ghostbusters game that came out. We felt like that, like, honestly, that's the third movie.
Yeah.
I've accepted that.
That's the third movie and the final time you'll see the originals.
Yes. All the way down to Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he was part of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Force Unleashed 2 now. Released in 2010 for PS3, Xbox 360, and Nintendo Wii. I believe later it eventually came out, or a portion of this game came out in the Google Store, but I believe it was like a card game or something, not like a not this physical game, but it was like a short, like, you know, like almost like a short to it, right, or whatever. You play as a clone of Starkiller, who wants to find both the identity of Starkiller's love interest, Juno Eclipse.
Well, he wants to find his identity. Well,
his identity. I'm sorry.
And he wants to find out what happened to Juno.
So, again, I'm jumping back because I do this. I have not completed, so I'm guessing Starkiller does not survive the first game. Or is that led to be, like, the unknown?
I think it's both because, of, like I said, it's multiple endings, especially with the Ultimate Sith Edition that they released.
Okay.
And, you know, that's basically what it goes to, is this guy is a clone, but he doesn't know he's a clone.
This game here came with my Xbox 360.
Right.
Because I have the Star Wars one. The Star Wars Xbox, it looks like R2-D2, had the C-3PO controller, and it came with this game. I believe it was this one.
Probably.
Came with the white Kinect as well. Pretty cool thing to have. The game was totally underwhelming, with critics concerned by the shady story, quick playthrough, and several gameplay elements. I mean, I remember hearing this was a short game.
Incredibly short.
But I remember being told it was meant to be like that, to set up for something else. Could we be seeing the final installment in The Force Unleashed?
No.
Does this one lead to the final? I have not played this one.
Well, this one, from what I'll say, is they had a couple cool aspects of it. Like, in the first game, you only had the one lightsaber. Now you're wielding dual lightsabers, two lightsabers.
Yeah, I remember that, because you had the two blue ones.
Yeah, and you could change the color. You could have a blue and red. You could have a green and yellow, a green and blue. It didn't matter. You could change the color of it. But this game was, compared to the first game, the second game was so repetitive. And as I'm playing through, and you're fighting the same guys over and over, and you look like you're looking at the same backgrounds over and over. And then all of a sudden, you come to the level where you're fighting Darth Vader, and he realizes he's a clone, and you have to fight all these different clones of you. You're fighting yourself, basically, all the other clones, and you're fighting Darth Vader. And you're like, once you get through, you're like, all right, we're halfway through the game. Here come the credits.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
Almost
me?
As if it could have been more DLC for the first game.
Yeah. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is really where we're going with this right now? You're ending the game right here? This is half of a game. If even half. This is what you've done? I couldn't stand it, because I beat it in one day. Less than a day. Probably about 2 hours, 2-3 hours. That's all it took.
Wow.
And the first one was a lot longer than that. You got to go to a bunch of different planets. You got to fight a bunch of different creatures and stuff like that. And it was awesome. But for this one, and it failed miserably, although it was the highest selling game of October of 2010 when it was released. It sold 500,000 copies in the first 2 weeks. It just, it was such a letdown compared to what they built off of the first game.
Well, yeah, the first one set the tone so high.
And the third game, I did some research, and I found an interview where the guy who did the Force Unleashed both games, he wrote the story, he says, because at the end of the Force Unleashed 2, I'm going to spoil it here for all of you, and you too, because you haven't played it in God knows how long. The end of the Force Unleashed 2 features, somehow, Darth Vader is now subservient to Starkiller. And he's being forced to work with Starkiller. He has to go on the run with him, I guess. The third game, from what the developer said, was going to turn it into more of an open world experience in the Star Wars universe. Kind of like Grand Theft Auto 5 or something like that. And it was also going to introduce co-op play with you and a friend, to where one of you would play Starkiller, the other one would play Darth Vader or something like that, as you're progressing through the story. And it showed Vader and Starkiller would be forced to join forces to stop a plan by the Emperor to replace Vader. So, I think that would have been cool, but I don't think that game's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you look at it, 6 years ago is when the last Force Unleashed game was released. There's never been any talk about it since. The ship has sailed. There have been tons of Star Wars games out. There's been quite a few that have been canceled that looked awesome. There was going to be a Darth Maul game that was Red Fly Studios or something like that. They were.
Wasn't there also at one time like a Final Fantasy based, like an RPG Star Wars game?
There probably was. There probably was at some point. The Darth Maul game was going to be awesome, and it got shelved.
I believe it got scrapped because that was around the time of the birth of that one game you always tell me about, the Disney game.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they felt like they couldn't compete with it.
Right. And there was also Star Wars 1313, which was supposed to come out. And just as soon as the Disney buy-through went, they completely wiped it off the map. And they got rid of it. And that was going to tell the story of Boba Fett down in this like prison with all these bounty hunters trying to fight through. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, there has been some awesome underrated games they come out with, like Republic Commando or Command, whatever,
right,
on the Xbox. You have Bounty Hunter, which is now available on the PlayStation 4 network. You had the Pod Racers. That was awesome on 64.
Yeah.
Like I said, Shadows of the Empire, all these cool games. There was one for Dreamcast. I never got it, but I think it might have been the... Oh, Jedi Power Battles. Yeah, I had it on PlayStation 1, but I heard it was so smooth on the Dreamcast. I wouldn't play it.
Well, you might be wondering why we chose to use Force Unleashed in our first Spotlight game, especially for Star Wars, after there's been so many Star Wars games. But that's because I keep hearing the rumors and people talking about it that maybe some point down the line, even though these games are not canon anymore, we might actually see a live-action version or a cartoon version in Rebels or something of Galen Merrick, of the Starkiller.
Yes.
They could easily bring his character in to Rebels, to the live action. Actually, the Stupendous Wave I recently watched, he did another video where he was talking about this very same subject and put across, like, it would be awesome if maybe Starkiller turned out to be Darth Maul's new apprentice, because Maul wanted an apprentice in the season 2 finale, and he tried to get Ezra, but Ezra turned against him after what Maul did to Kanan. So what if when Maul is out there, because he is still alive, he's flying through space, he wants to get his revenge, and he wants an apprentice. What if he goes and finds this young kid named Galen Merrick? What if he finds the Starkiller, and they basically do a variation of that?
Yeah, I mean, it could be... Anything's possible.
It would be awesome, I think. And I can't wait for this. The world of Star Wars in the future is just going to be so great.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, I mean, what a better way to go out than what could happen.
Exactly. What's going to happen? We know Rogue One comes out this year. Episode 8 next year, done by Rian Johnson. I know we've got books coming out. Bloodline, written
more
by
games,
Claudia Gray.
Maybe more things for the Infinity that Disney put out.
Exactly. Like, we got more games. We got Bloodline by Claudia Gray is coming out. That's going to tell the story of Princess Leia or General Leia before the events of The Force Awakens and why the Rebellion kind of split off from the Senate, and they're at odds with each other over the way that they should be treating the First Order. We've got an Ahsoka Tano novel that's coming out that's going to detail exactly what her life was like after she left the Jedi Order and how she became Fulcrum. For those of you Rebels fans who watched Season 1 and you heard about the mysterious Fulcrum and then you realized it was Ahsoka, that was awesome. How'd she get that? We've got Episode 9 coming out. So much is coming in the world of Star Wars, and I can't wait for it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to have it streamed into my brain. I'm ready to see all the awesome lightsaber battles. I'm ready to hear more about Snoke, more about Rey, Finn, Poe, everything that's going to happen in the future. I cannot wait for that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to go ahead and bring this to a close here, our third annual Star Wars Day celebration.
May the Fourth be with you.
Exactly, even though it aired after...
Probably, maybe not, we don't know.
It's a possibility. If not, then hey, that's awesome. We're on time for once.
Yeah, better late than never.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can check us out on Facebook, World's Almost Finest, facebook.com/World's Almost Finest. Give us a like, talk to us, send us some messages. We want to hear from you guys. We want to talk to you guys. You can find us on Twitter.
At?
Jacob the Red.
At Big Stupid Elbow.
at W Almost Finest.
And coming soon, we're going to reveal it after PopCon. World's Almost Finest will be on Instagram.
Yeah. And right now...
And we're going to be working on some YouTube interaction.
Yeah. YouTube interaction. We're still talking about the Twitch page. We recently put out a poll about our movie commentary, which one we should do first. We'll make the announcement about that coming up, because right now it's still going on. I believe Dread is actually winning the vote right now.
I voted for Warzone.
Yeah. So, it's winning the vote right now, but
it's the not margin, what I want, it's what y'all want.
The margin keeps getting smaller and smaller, so Warzone could catch up.
And once we crown a winner, we will sit down and film it, and at the end of that release, we will announce the next poll.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah, we'll go from there. But until then, guys, thanks for checking us out here on episode 57, the National Star Wars Day Celebration, third annual.
Let's give a shout-out to George Lucas for this creation. Yeah. Let's give a shout-out for FNX for having us. Let's give a shout-out to you for listening. Okay, guys, I really got to go, so let's just shout-out to everybody. Hey, shout-out to Joshua Johnson. I saw him walking down the street yesterday and yelled, "I love you, Josh Johnson Network." He didn't even look at me.
Oh, look at that.
I know, right? I'm helping a guy give him a cheap plug, and he didn't even like me.
Exactly. I can't stand it. Well, until next time, guys, thanks for checking us out, and we will see you in the future of the World's Almost Finest.
Bye, bye, bye.